if you're innovating, creating, or making a difference.
This show is for you. Welcome to Over Coffee. I'm Dot Cannon. Here on Over Coffee, we talk with artists and innovators about the process of changing the world in terms of what they do.
In 2004, in the really early days of podcasting, you never said your real name. You never talked about anything that could identify you as a person. But what I did went, no, I'm going to show you guys there's nothing to be afraid of.
When podcasting first started around 2004, Charles McFall was one of the early adopters. His journey as a podcaster has led to his current work as co-host and executive producer of the Success Freaks podcast, as well as producing a number of other live shows. Charles's motto is help others be awesome, and he's going to be doing that at the upcoming 2015 New Media Expo, where he's one of the speakers. Charles, what do you remember very best about your growing up years as your bio says, the son of a preacher man, that led to what you do right now?
Well, honestly, it's kind of negative stories. It's the perception of people and what they think reality should be. And by that, I mean, my dad was never my preacher. He was always my dad, right? So I grew up like that. And one specific story I remember is as the family, we played cards. You know, we played spades or canasta or you know, anything fun like that, right? And I was at church one night, and I don't know, I mentioned something about it and got some ugly looks from some really older ladies. And I don't know if they said something to my parents or if they said something to me. I don't remember how the conversation started later after the fact, but I asked my mom about it, or she came to me about it and said, basically, I can't talk about what we do in the house. And I was confused, right? I'm 10, 11, something like that. And I was like, why not? She said, well, because the cards, even though we play fun, nice, wholesome Christian games, right, that the cards say poker on them. And so there were people in the church who just couldn't talk about cards. And I was like, that's ridiculous. But I learned a lot about people's perceptions and their expectations of other people. And I've learned how to gently change those expectations or to see people I do not want to be around and deal with and go in a different direction.
How do you use that? And by the way, as a child who grew up in a Methodist home, I was nodding my head in agreement when you said that about cards. I was thinking, uh-oh. How do you use that, changing that perception? How did you take that when you first became aware of podcasting to create your company, Bear Crawling Nation?
So what I did with that was, I hesitate to say I pioneered a lot of things because I think, especially in the early days of podcasting, I think that we all had ideas, and we all just kind of added to the mixing pot, and different things came out of it. But I know one of the things in my specific tiny group that I was leading the charge on was in 2004, in the really early days of podcasting, you never said your real name. You never talked about anything that could identify you as a person, you know, your job, the city you're in, any of that. And it was this perception that, oh, somebody's going to come get us. Somebody's going to come mess with us. To me, it was kind of this false reality everybody was creating. And that's not a bad thing, necessarily. It definitely erred on the side of caution. But what I did from that story, from that perception of other people, went, you know what? No. I was much, much less tactful. So it's like, no, I'm going to show you guys there's nothing to be afraid of. And the first thing I did out of the gate was tell my real name, put my address out there for people to send me stuff, because I wanted stuff. I'm like, hey, I want cards, I want you to send me toys, I want cool stuff. So here's my address where I live, and here's the job where I work at, and I named names, and I said things I probably shouldn't have said, and I complained about things, and you know, people were like, what in the world is going on? That guy's crazy. And slowly but surely, they thought, okay, well, he's not dead, so that's okay. You know, and I think I helped at least lend to my group of influence that relaxation of the world's not out to get you. It's not evil. You can get on the air and say who you are, and it's up to you to how much information you want to divulge. But you can be real on the radio without sharing every detail in your life and make the world what you want it to be.
In fact, it sounds like the sky didn't fall. And did you even have any negative experiences from sharing what you wanted to share?
No, actually, interestingly enough, in fact, one job I used to complain about, I had posters. At one time, I had posters made up for my show, for when I hit show 100 and gave them out. And I had one hanging in my cubicle, because like everybody else in podcasting at the time, I had a day job. And I had it hanging up on my wall. People knew about the show. Some of them had been invited to come to hear the live party from when we hit 100. And I tell you, I did some dumb things on the air. You know how you'll get frustrated at work, and you just need to vent. Well, I'd vent on the microphone. And anybody at work could have heard it and could have caused problems. Yeah, I think there's just this safety net around me to where people just didn't care at work and didn't listen. So no, actually, I can't say for real life effects, like, oh, it affected my house, it affected my wife, any of that. I can't say for real life effects I've had any negative happenings from that. You know, I have had, as anybody has in the business or any business, eventually you run into something where somebody doesn't like what you do and they start trying to cause problems for you. But nothing from just sharing who I was. And the fact that actually it seemed to build my audience much better than not sharing.
I'll bet they related to that because nobody lives in a perfect world. Before we talk about how you dealt with people not liking what you did, how did podcasting first come on your radar? How'd you first know about it?
I am not a morning person. So I hesitate to take jobs that gets me up before 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock. Really, I prefer 10 and later. But I like morning shows. I like those drive time AM shows. And one local at the time, I don't remember what the show was. I just remember the station at the time was called 99X in Atlanta. And they had some show I liked. And I went to their website to see if I could listen to something going on. I happened to be a paramedic at the time, and I was working in a fire station. And so it was very slow. We're in a rural county, so not that many people live there. So the call volume was really low. But I had to stay there for 24 hours, so I had to entertain myself. And I went on to their website to see if there was something I could do to entertain myself, to be different. And it said, download our podcast. And so I went to it, and it's the first time I'd ever heard that word. And I saw it was just MP3s. Now, it was not a podcast. You could not subscribe to it, and it really was just 5-minute or less segments from their show. It was not actually their show from the morning. That was the first time I heard the word podcast, and I Googled it, and I came up with Podcast Alley. Podcast Alley was the site back then, and just searched comedy and ended up finding the first real podcast I ever listened to, which was Two Guys, One Brain, and they're actually still on the air with 2G1B.com. But I got into their show about show 15 or so, and this is in, I don't know, August of 2004, and ever since I've been hooked.
But hooked or not, once he decided to do his own podcast, Charles said that finding his niche took some time.
I started an old show back in 2004, and it was your standard morning zoo crew, this kind of thing, and it was fine, but it wasn't what I was cut out to do. And then I did a second show about discussion and roundtables, and we discussed things, and it also was fine, but it wasn't what I was cut out to do. And I took a break when I had my daughter, I believe it was. I took a break for a little while, right after my son was born, one of them. And I took a break, and I came back, and I said, okay, what am I meant to do? And I sat down, I started the show at the time, it was called Bear Crawling. And I did 5 years of that. And in that course of time, I believe I influenced a lot of people in the fact of how I changed things, because I always said, you know what, this is what I'm going to do. I was 2 episodes in, found my niche, and went, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to talk and get paid for it, one way or the other. At the time, the only future I knew was syndication, so I'm going to get syndicated on like Sirius or XM and those kind of things. And I did a 2-hour live show, which was unheard of. A half-hour live show in podcasting was unheard of back then. But there were a lot more avenues to do that. A lot more live chats were popping up back then. And I did a 2-hour live show and gained an audience. Doing 2 hours of the podcast, especially 10 years ago, was crazy because people wanted little bite-sized things. The idea was, you know, give them something for the commute, 20 minutes or less. And then you had to compress it or you had to render it at a very low quality. So it's very quick to download. So you're talking about 20 megabytes. It'll take 5 minutes to download. I put out a show that was 2 hours long. And CD quality, high quality audio, and it was almost 100 megabytes to download. And I had listeners going, what are you doing? It takes me like an hour to download this thing. And eventually I had to go, I'm sorry, but either do it or don't listen, because this is what I'm doing, because I know this is what's right. And it was. It was very successful. It got me into a lot of places that I am now, just that path I took. So I had a lot of people even close to me saying, yeah, this is just a hobby. Don't put the cart before the horse. If people don't understand your vision.
Sooner or later, like you said, somebody's going to not like what you do. How do you deal with that?
In reality, how I dealt with it was I took it personal and caused problems. This was many years ago. So the story goes, I was trying out a new feature on my website, and it was, I'd never done advertising of any nature on my website, so I had a new plugin. This has to be 5-6 years ago at least, and I wanted to rotate banners. That's what I wanted to do. I wanted it to rotate banners, and I was coding everything myself. This is even before really WordPress was big, and this was all HTML before it went to CSS and all this other stuff. And sorry if I lost you on tech stuff, but it was in the wild, wild west of podcasting, so we had to figure out everything else on our own. And I put it out on Twitter, said, hey, I've got a new feature on my website I want to try out. It's banners. So anybody who wants to advertise with me for free, so it'll help me test out, here are the dimensions I need. Just shoot me the link you want and the picture. I really want to try this tool out. And one person was like, oh, that's awesome, thanks. And they shot me an email with their banner and their link. And then somebody else got on there and just was really snotty about it. And he was like, well, you know, well, how many listeners do you have? And how much traffic do you have to your website? I went, I immediately got mad, but just responded back, well, what does that matter? I'm giving you free advertising. Well, I need to know if it's worth my time. And he ripped me a new one in public, and I got so furious. And I actually took it offline at that, well, technically took it off of Twitter. He was a very not nice person to me in what I consider the internet public, you know, Twitter. I emailed him privately and said, you know what, that was uncalled for, and that basically we're done. Don't ever talk to me again. I don't want to hear from you again. And that hurt me for a very long time. I fumed a very long time. I think I handled it somewhat appropriately by making it more private. And then he actually tweeted out later, I guess I could handle that better. Like, you know, I didn't understand. Here I was. I took it personal because here I was trying to give away something free. I thought I was doing something great for the community. It's a give, right? And that was the first time I got punched in the face virtually for doing something nice. And I didn't let it change me. I still did stuff nice. And what I did was let it make a tougher skin. So now, as I do things, and I actually and more in the fandom realm versus back in the early days where it's just people you knew listen. And you made new friends by listening to podcasts, but you became friends. So if you listen to somebody else's podcast, you got to know them and they got to know you, versus now where audiences are very aware of how to find shows, and it's not quite the same. So now that I'm in the realm of fandom, I have people post all the time on my Facebook page or on their groups or whatever that, this was horrible and you missed this. And I just laugh it off. I'm like, somehow you forgot in listening to all these shows that I've done that I've built my entire premise of my show on the fact that I don't do any research at all. But I have a passion for what I talk about and I love what I talk about. In this specific instance, it was the show about a game that I do. I said, yeah, I'll get the names wrong. And I might get, you know, historical comic book facts wrong. But you know what? I'm not wrong about the game. I'm telling you some great information, and I just laugh it off. Because one thing I realized after the Twitter incident was that was a little different thing. But I realized once you get haters, you're actually successful. Because I realized even then wasn't a hater, some guy who just was kind of not nice. But once you get somebody actually trolling you, as they'll say on the internet, and hating on you or trying to pick apart what you did, then you're successful. Because as you grow, you're attracting people who are like, man, this is awesome. But then when you get to a certain point, you'll attract somebody going, hey, there's a bunch of people over here thinking that's awesome. Let me see if I can go mess with that. So I think it's a sign of success when you get hate mail.
Currently, Charles is involved in a number of different projects that showcase his versatility.
I'd love for people to find all the different things that I do. You know, I'm so varied, and going from Clean Cut, you know, Success Freaks, which is a radio show, to the podcast about a game that's called From the Helicarrier. That's very niche. It's a Marvel video game. But, you know, we do that, and it's somewhat PG-13, to the music show we call Oh My God! It's a mashup podcast, which is very R-rated, but it's just as passionate about music, and my wife and I do it and have fun with that. you know, you can span the range and understand that not all audiences will follow everything that you do because you hit different markers. So do what you do best, and sometimes that's one thing, and sometimes you have different avenues that you want to do. Do what feels right for you.
And Charles offered a preview of his presentation at New Media Expo coming up on April 15th. However, when I asked about it, he also proved that being a preacher's kid doesn't necessarily mean that you can't get into a little bit of mischief now and again. Let's look at what you're going to be talking about at NMX. Tell me a little bit about your presentation, please.
That's all top secret.
Okay, let's not do that.
No, I'm just kidding. No.
Oh, you're messing with me. Boo.
Sorry. I know that's early. My bad. No. It's not top secret at all. I'd love people to come and listen. It's about building community and how we monetize that. And the panel I put together is Jay Soderberg, who was the head producer at ESPN for all of their podcasts. I think at one time he was producing 23 podcasts. And I don't mean in the sense that most of us think of producing, like, hey, I'd make this podcast. He actually is legitimate, went to school, tons of experience as a producer who says, okay, you need to do this on your show, and we're going to build this show for tomorrow. And the talent gets on the air, and they do what they do best. And he ran the back end. He did that for many, many years for ESPN. He was the producer of the fantasy football podcast and the fantasy baseball podcast. He is now the director of community over at Blog Talk Radio in building their community there. He's going to share his insights from ESPN and how to manage a big fandom base who really doesn't understand what you do, you know, with ESPN and sports, those kind of things. We've got Brian Ibbett of Coverville, who has been podcasting since day one. It seems like he just hit 1,067 episodes of Coverville and over 10 plus years. And he's got a nice fan base and how he built that up. Nicole Spagnuolo, who is with the Wood Whisperer and Geek Parents. And what they did in the early days with Wood Whisperer was they just went to a tool company, obviously from the Wood Whisperer name. He builds wood, I think furniture. He builds wooden furniture and those kind of things. And they just went to a local hardware store and said, hey, this is what we're doing. Would you like to help us out? You know, sponsor us, give us some tools to give away. And they're going to talk about that avenue of how they knew what they had and what niche they were in and how to get the sponsors for that. So you're going to get all these different forms of this is the community we build, which is number one. You can't just go, hey, I'm awesome and I make a great show and hey, come give me money. It doesn't work that way. You have to build the community. You have to give all that value first. And then you're doing the second step is going to be here are the different paths we took to making the money that we make on it. And you know, my path particularly is going to cover, and I'll go ahead and tell you, this is something that every podcaster should look at. It's called Patreon.com. Patreon. And it's along the same lines. I'll let you research it, but it's along the same lines of being a patron of the arts. People support your content. They love that you're creating content. They agree to donate so much either per show or per month. They pledge is what they do. So that's something everybody should check out. That's worked out really well for me. But sometimes, and what you'll hear in this presentation too, sometimes it's not about the here and now. It's not about this show makes this much money. It's this show taught me skills and opened up doors to now meet these other people, and now I'm doing some technical producing, and I'm doing mixing, and doing some other stuff that my shows led to that did monetize, that did allow me to make the income that I make now.
Patreon.com is that resource you've just given, in case anybody listening is saying, what did he just say? Patreon.com. Charles, as we wrap up here, what have you learned from your podcast, from your experiences, that you really want to share with other people about innovation, creativity, and making a difference?
You know, as weird as it might sound, because you should listen to people who have wisdom and advice, but here's the word I want to give. Don't listen to anybody. Trust yourself. Know your vision. And I don't mean the little steps along the way, because I've absolutely had mentors and had great advice and had people chip into my show and say, hey, I love what you're doing. You should try something a little different here. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about when you know where you're going, stick to your vision. Don't listen to everybody else's. Ultimately, if you go with what you feel is right, what you know to be right for you, and don't worry about the rest of it, you'll get to where you want to be.
Charles, thank you for your time today.
You're welcome. Thank you, Dot. It's been enjoyable. course it's enjoyable. I talked about myself all day.
You and I have been listening to comedian, author, and motivational speaker Charles McFall, who's going to be one of the presenters at the 2015 New Media Expo in Las Vegas. Charles will be moderating a panel entitled How to Build a Community That Grows Your Influence and Income. And if you happen to be on site for New Media Expo, check it out. It's starting in Westgate Pavilion, 10:15 on Wednesday morning, April 15th. Meanwhile, you can find Charles's podcasts, both Success Freaks, which he co-hosts, and From the Helicarrier, on his website, charlesmcfall.com. That's charlesmcfall.com. And that concludes this edition of Over Coffee. Thank you for listening. If you'd like to hear more Over Coffee podcasts, our link is twomaverix.com. That's twomaverix.com. And you can contact us at twomaverix@gmail.com. The music you're hearing is royalty-free production music provided by Pond5 at pond5.com. I'm Dot Cannon. Here's wishing you a cappuccino day.